like bank robbers. Strange days, aren't they? But God willing, they'll be over soon. Do you know where you're going? Are you going to heaven? Do you know you are? Jesus wanted to make sure every one of us knows where we're going and that we can go to heaven. This is a great parable. I don't know if I need to say any more because the video just about said a lot of it. But it really does bear our concentration and thoughtfulness because it challenges you and me as to where we really are going. Jesus has not got long to live. He's going to the cross. He wants to make sure folks are left in no doubt at all as to what's at stake in their lives, in your life and my life. So if you'd be good enough to turn to Luke 18 and verse 9, we'll look at the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. I'm going to call it right with God or left without him. Because that's what's at stake for all of us when we die. We'll either be right with God or left without him. Very simple parable. Two men, two prayers, two destinies. Very straightforward, but it speaks directly to you and to me. Have you ever met a Pharisee? I have. Every morning in the mirror. We've all met a Pharisee. Have you ever met a tax collector? Probably never wanted to meet him. I have a brother-in-law who was a tax collector. He was okay. Nobody really likes tax collectors, so if you are one or a retired one, I'll say no more. He spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous or acceptable to God, living the sort of life that God has to be pleased with, surely. Those who thought they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. Every morning when a Pharisee woke up, he prayed this prayer. God, I thank you. I wasn't born a woman. I'll go with that one. I thank you I wasn't born a slave. And I thank you I wasn't born a Gentile. Not exactly a PC prayer, to say the least, was it? The woke brigade would have a field day with that prayer. I'm glad I wasn't born like that, but I've ended up like I am, a Pharisee. Because in saying that he was a Pharisee, he did have plenty to boast about. I can tell you this. No Pharisee was thick. No Pharisee had a bad memory. No Pharisee failed to have a standing in the local community. Do you know how many do's and don'ts a Pharisee had to go along with? 613. 365 do's and 248 don'ts. Nightmare. Have you ever opened a cupboard and forgotten why you opened it? Knelt down on the floor and have no idea why you're there? They had to remember so much so that God would accept the way they lived. 365 do's. Not every day, of course not. But when a challenge came up, what should I do? What should I not do? He was spot on. That's a lot to remember and a lot not to do. And this Pharisee went up to the temple and stood, verse 11, and prayed, it says here, thus, with himself, but actually it does say to himself. That was a lovely prayer before, thank you. This prayer was to himself. He may as well have had a mirror there, just looking at himself, sticking out his lapels, if he had lapels, whatever way he, as it were, bumped himself up, and he prayed to himself, God, well, that's not a bad start. I thank you. That's not a bad start. We should all give thanks. All of us should be far quicker to give thanks than ever we are to moan, shouldn't we? We really should. God, I thank you. But here we go. I'm not like other men, which immediately shows that he felt something about himself compared to who's coming next. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I'm not an extortioner. I'm honest with my money, my affairs, and my dealings. Good on him. We should all be like that. Whether an employer, an employee, whatever a transaction we might be involved in, I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I tell the truth and try to live by the truth. I believe in justice. And boy, there's not much of that knocking around in our day and age, is there? And a lot of people would rightly say there's no justice this side of heaven. I'm not unjust, and I'm not an adulterer. Now that's a bold claim when you remember what Jesus said about adultery. Doesn't have to be the act. It's the thought, it's the heart. I'm not an adulterer. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt and believe those first three claims were true of him. I'd struggle to comply with those, would you? Not an extortioner, never done a dodgy deal, never done something a bit iffy. Unjust in word or deed or intent. Not an adulterer in thought, never mind the act. They're bold claims. Verse 12, I fast twice a week. That's a huge one. 104 times a year, this man fasted. That's discipline. That's wanting to get right with God and do what must surely gain his acceptance. And it would certainly, if he was married, because he said, I'm not an adulterer, it would help his wife. She didn't have to think, what we're having for tea tonight? 104 times a year, that's pretty cool as well. I give tithes of all that I possess. I give as I should. I give as I commanded. I'm pretty good. All the do's, all the don'ts, done all the exams. I've got to this point in my life. I'm top of the religious ladder almost, not quite, but not far off. I'm doing absolutely wonderfully, and I am squeaky clean. Not like this tax collector. Tax collectors were hated because they were dodgy. They loved brown paper bags. They loved bungs. Just a couple of pages on, we'll see that Jesus met Zacchaeus. We're told by Luke he was a tax collector and he was rich. Now they were all rich, but Zacchaeus was very rich. You could make a fortune out of being a tax collector by the add-ons and the dodgy deals. I thank you, I'm not like this tax collector, but he was also saying something else. They're the collaborators with Rome. Because to be a tax collector, you had to know the right people, suck up to the right people, grease the palms of the right people, and you could be appointed a tax collector. So not only were they dodgy with all the deals, but also their persuasion, their loyalties, their intrigues were all associated with Rome. This guy, excuse it, I'm not sure if you say this in Rainhill because you all look very posh to me, this guy is just one scumbag. Tax collectors, no chance. So much in his favour. Two men. The first man's prayer was all about himself. I. Aren't I wonderful? Surely I must be acceptable to God because I am far better than this ragbag, scumbag, no mark tax collector. Jesus said, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, acceptable by God. He did have a righteousness to boast of. His good living, his good standing, his good deeds, his good behavior. But it was all relative because of the comparison he was making with the tax collector. I thank you, God, was just a mouthed expression with no regard for what God really demands of us. Do you watch much television? There's lots of television I wouldn't even want to have on at home. See some of the trailers for some of the stuff that's coming up after the news or later on in the evening, which is absolutely horrible, to say the least. Or the tabloid press or whatever it is, all the sleaze, all the stuff that's going on. And we might often stand back and say, well, I'm not like that, I'm not like him, I'm not like her. But that's just relative to what we think of ourselves as compared to that other person. And that's what the Pharisee is actually claiming in this prayer, which Luke tells us was prayed to himself. There's the mirror. And he was looking at himself, as it were, and going, pretty good, pretty good. Not the body, not the six pack, not the whatever, if he had one. But my lifestyle, my behavior, my standing, good, 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 compared to. And the tax collector, verse 13, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven. Where was the tax collector standing? Well, we're told he was in the temple, verse 10. He was in the temple at a place that was known to be a place of prayer. And central to that place was the Ark of the Covenant. And on top of the Ark of the Covenant was something called the mercy seat. And as he came into the temple, not daring almost to look up, not daring almost to look at the furniture that was there, he stood afar off, he couldn't lift his eyes, and he said, God, verse 13, be merciful to me, the sinner. I'm not changing it on purpose, that's the translation. God, be merciful to me, the big, bad sinner. And as he came in, with no self-confidence, with no confidence at all, he recognized a desperate need that he was a sinner. That's not PC these days, is it? When did you last see, I'm not trying to indict anybody here, when did you last hear or see a sermon on sin and hell and judgment? We often skirt around the word. Sin is sin. It is breaking God's law. It is offending God. It is showing that we are in desperate need if we don't act. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, without playing with words and without trying to show off, this is what he really prayed. God, propitiate me, the sinner. When did you last use the word propitiate? Probably never. Nor would I, other than talking about the scriptures. God, be a propitiation for me. Be a mercy seat for me. Be an atoning sacrifice for me. There's nothing I can do for myself. I've blown it. Big style. I know I'm in big trouble, huge trouble. I want to be right with God. When I compare myself with anybody, I'm absolutely nothing and worthless. And when I dare to look at you, I daren't. Because I've blown it so much. I am a sinner. I want to be right with you. 14. I tell you, says Jesus, this man, the tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the other. A good prayer, a fancy prayer, an honest prayer from the Pharisee, but it had no weight with God, because the righteousness he spoke of was relative to others. There was no sense of guilt. There was no sense of having offended God. There was no sense of sin. Whereas the tax collector, merely head bowed, beating his breast in torment over his spiritual state, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus says that prayer meant he could go home and know he was justified. Just as if every sin he had sinned could be laid on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, Jesus hasn't died yet, but he understood what the mercy seat meant. He understood what was required by God from all the Old Testament system of sacrifice and substitute by an animal whose blood was shed, and he knew that for him was the way to be right with God. Not his lifestyle, because it stank. Not his turning over a new leaf, it wouldn't work. Please, please, be merciful to me, the greatest sinner you'll ever meet, and the greatest sinner you'll certainly meet today, as I'm in the temple praying. Everyone who exalts himself will be abased, and he who humbles himself just comes clean, opens up, stops faffing around, stops pretending, stops playing games, stops playing an act, will be exalted. Why? Because God forgives sin. And of course we know he forgives it in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know many of you here. I can recognize a couple of folks. You're all hidden behind the mask. Don't know anything about your past. Are you justified? The great thing about the cross is this. Jesus willingly went to the cross to take our sin upon himself. And what I find amazing, I'm only putting my name here because it's the best name I can remember. When he died on the cross, and I accept he died in my place, he became my sin. He became Jeff Park, the liar. Jeff Park, the guy who gets angry, Jeff Park, the guy who's stolen. Jeff Park, the guy who has committed adultery. Jeff Park, who's broken all those commandments. It's just as if he had broken those commandments instead of me, and I can go free because the guilt and the weight and the punishment for my sin was heaped upon him. Don't go around saying you're better than them and you're better than them and you're better than them. In many ways you might be, but before God, has your sin and my sin been dealt with? Do you know you're going to heaven? Do you really know that? Not hoping against hope, not attending here as often as you can, doing all the best you can and all the religious bits the Pharisee did. Do you know you're right with God through the Lord Jesus Christ? The gospel is wonderful because it's free, it's still on offer, and it can be accepted right now today. I've been to the Bridge Chapel for over 40 years. That will not save me. Don't know how long you've been coming here. It will not save you. He will. Nobody else. And the older we get, maybe it's time, God willing, everybody here is bound for heaven. But the older we get, we should take this subject and these issues ever so seriously. Life is short. And as Bill, who just left us last week, used to say so many times, we'll never get out of this life alive unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes first. Where are you going? We can know. We can go to our house today, justified and exalted because of what he has done. It's a wonderful parable told by the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me, who loved you. Has he given himself for you? That's what's at stake when we listen to these parables. Please, friend, I do trust you know where you're going. You're right with God. He is, through his Son, your atoning sacrifice, your propitiation, your mercy seat, your Saviour. Thank you for listening. It's always difficult when you're talking to people and you can't see them properly. But thank you very much for listening. And the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you in the work here in Trinity, Rainhill, Will, and the leadership here, and all of you. It's good to see you. And may his word, through his Spirit, have an impact on us all. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that a parable like this, we can't possibly miss what it has to say. But Lord, it's for us, not the person that we'd like it to be aimed at, not the person we feel needs it. It's for us. Confirm in us our standing before you, we pray. And may none of us, not one of us, miss out on this so great salvation. May we all be right with our God and not left without him. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name.